Hello and welcome to Business Beat, KBIA's weekly look at business topics in Mid-Missouri. I'm Nick Adams. Coming up later in the show, direct payments for farmers could be coming to a halt. We'll hear why some farmers believe it's time for the free cash to end. But first, a business incubator built in Sedalia could have a positive impact lined up for the city. State Fair Community College received a $1.8 million grant last week for the construction of their new business incubator. KBIA's Derek Klein explains why the incubator will create jobs for Sedalia, as well as hands-on experience for the college students.
Harvey Burr is a tire man.
We can do the small tire, the passenger tires and truck tires and bus tires and things like that.
As CEO of Hi-Tech, Burr recycles old tires. His processor breaks down tires to get carbon, steel, gas, and oil. But Burr wants to do bigger tires now.
We're going to put in big equipment that we can do the huge tires that will come out of the big mine.
Burr does not have enough space on his property in Bonnets Mill, Missouri. To get the space needed for the larger processor, Burr became the first tenant for the upcoming Energy Center in Sedalia. That's the same center that will house State Fair's new business incubator. It will provide a space for emerging businesses to explore next-generation energy technologies. Dr. Michael Ash is the college's vice president for advancement and resource development. He's excited to see the plan come to fruition.
It will hopefully attract other businesses that will bring with them or set up shop here in Sedalia or Pettis County, and will bring with it some additional jobs.
Burr expects to immediately create a few jobs in Sedalia in order to keep his company running 24 hours a day.
We think there's an ample supply of qualified, trainable people right there in the Sedalia area.
The new facility will not only bring jobs to Sedalia, it will also offer renewable energy training to students at the college. Program coordinator David Albers believes the hands-on experience is invaluable.
It'll give them a huge leg up having this right near the campus over other programs across the country because they'll have biomass almost right in the classroom.
Albers says the students are excited about the experience they will be receiving in the classroom. He believes students in this program will easily acquire jobs in their desired field.
This is my manual control.
Burr believes the cooperation with State Fair will allow students to see what goes into the processes and how it can be good for the environment.
We think this is going to be part of the role that, educating students and coming up with new technology.
Burr hopes to be at the Energy Center as much as possible, working on his tires, as well as teaching the students the best he can. Derek Klein, KBIA News.
The Jefferson City Area Chamber of Commerce presented a plan Monday night for a half-cent sales tax increase to help fund transformation projects. The 10-year tax would increase 30 projects to transform the city. City Council member Carrie Carroll says residents have waited on these projects their entire lives, and Missouri State Prison renovations top her list.
Time is of the essence. We have to act now, pass the sales tax, and actually get those funds working right away to fix those buildings at the prison. And I would love to see the conference center located at the prison. I mean, we need to get the prison in shape, and if this is what it's going to take, then let's just do it.
Other projects include renovations at St. Mary's Hospital, repairing the surfaces of multiple streets, and adding a trolley to the downtown area. The total cost of the projects is an estimated $41 million. The city council could vote on the tax in one of its next two meetings. If approved, Jefferson City voters will have their say on the tax on the February 7th ballot. And finally, deficit hawks are circling around government spending, and agriculture subsidies are one target in their sights. With farm income reaching record highs, more and more politicians, including President Obama, are looking to slash direct payments to farmers. Last year, the U.S. government paid out $4.9 billion. As part of our ongoing series on the Farm Bill, Harvest Public Media's Kathleen Masterson reports that while certainly not all farm groups are on board, many farmers recognize the time's up for the unconditional cash.
Roger Zylstra started farming in the 1980s, in the middle of the farm crisis, he says with a chuckle. Sitting at his kitchen table, with windows overlooking waving acres of golden tasseled corn, Zylstra recalls the ups and downs.
There was a period of time there when the farm program was the only thing that really kept us in existence. You know, it's only been the last 4 years, I think, where we've had the prices that we currently have, and where it got to the point where there was more money in the market than there was in the farm program.
And he points out that a number of farmers don't even sign up for direct payments anymore. Direct payments are pretty much what they sound like. The government writes a check to farmers to boost their income. Eligibility and dollar amount are based on how many acres and what kind of crop the farmer grew in the 80s. The payments began as a way to support farmers after the 96 Farm Bill got rid of price supports, and then farmers entered some lean years. But nowadays, high grain prices have helped raise farm income to the point where, on average, it's higher than non-farm household income. Zylstra farms 700 acres in central Iowa and says he receives about $17 an acre in direct payments, or about $10,000 annually. Zylstra calculates that with fertilizer, seeds, and land rent, this year it cost him $500 an acre to raise a crop, or around $350,000, which makes $17 an acre in direct payments seem pretty insignificant. But some say farmers still need this government assistance.
Right now, the Farm Bureau is still very much supportive of direct payments.
That's Public Policy Director Mark Maslin. He says direct payments are an important source of revenue for farmers, but if changes are in the cards...
But if the Congress wants to go in a different direction, and say perhaps in a more risk management-oriented direction, that we ought not to leave that money and just see it disappear. It ought to be shifted into a different approach.
And one such approach could be crop insurance. Remember, we're talking about $4.9 billion in direct payments a year. That's about a quarter of all farm subsidies. The rest is paid out through crop insurance, conservation programs, and loan assistance subsidies. Yet Joe Glauber, chief economist at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, says overall that agriculture today operates mostly independently of farm program payments, which make up less than 10% of farms' net cash income. In fact, according to data from the Environmental Working Group, 62% of farmers receive no subsidies at all. So should farmers be able to make it without any government support?
As an economist, I'd say, yeah, absolutely. I think they should be able to survive.
At this point, nobody is seriously suggesting gutting farm programs entirely. But most economists and many farmers say the time for direct payments has passed. In fact, in President Obama's recent spending cuts speech, he specifically outlined nixing direct payments and reducing subsidies to crop insurance. And for the many farm groups looking to see the money from direct payments redirected into crop insurance, this could mean a tough battle ahead. I'm Kathleen Masterson, Harvest Public Media.
Thanks for listening to Business Beat. I'm Nick Adams. Remember, podcasts of this show and all our shows are available at kbia.org.